Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't.
Kimberly Thomas coming to you live from the Ebenezer Baptist Church in the great studios of Taking the Limits Off Media. So come on in. Not a video, this is a live show. I'm going to get my intro right someday.
It's only show 20. We ain't gonna hold it against you. It's only show 20.
Oh my goodness. You know what? It's been a blast. It's been a blast coming up to 6 months in April. So we're excited. Getting some great feedback. Looking forward to moving on and becoming better and staying relevant and talking about what's going on in our community. So thank you all for listening. We greatly appreciate it, as well as we welcome any feedback, any topics you want to talk about. A lot's going on in our communities across the world, across the nation. So we're definitely with that. Welcome and come on in. Thank you for tuning in on the Blog Talk side. If you would like to join us, you can call in and we'll post that number because clearly I never write it down. So my great producer, he would just be so kind and to fire off that number. Yes, we call the show. I'm just gonna create a real big sign, right, with all my notes on it, just because is it here somewhere? Thank you. You can dial 323-870-4375. Welcome, Felicia. Thank you. Come on in. Press 1 to get online. And we appreciate you on the Blog Talk side as well as the Facebook side. Some interesting things to talk about this evening and just trying to stay abreast on things and everything that's going on in our world. I found it rather relevant to talk about this. But before we kick it off, you know, I have to check in with my great producer because, you know, clearly he was a little disturbed a few days ago and started page burners and that whole I was praying for you.
I've been blocked by people.
I'm pretty sure you were.
Right. By church, but didn't he speak to me on Sunday? Wouldn't he speak to me on Sunday?
Oh my goodness! I was like, okay, I get it, but you know, I found that all that you were putting out, the question you were posing about, and there are coming up, you know, more doing, and some of these practices have been around. Right, for quite some time in other cultures and other countries as well. So it kind of got me to thinking about from that standpoint of when we do those rituals, right, when we have those practices, what mindset have to have? My greatest concern, you know how we do things that's trending versus looking at from cultural perspective what all went into this particular ritual, tradition, and practice among other ethnic backgrounds. And it's pretty deep, right? It's pretty deep, especially, you know, with the Native Americans and other cultures who practice those forms of, you know, things like that. So it was something interesting when you read the comments and you were, you know, getting hounded on. It really became like, okay, how serious do we take it? You know, are people seeing benefits? Are people, you know, feeling what is felt from the origination of the practice? And so just kind of putting that out there. So if you all have or some other type of ritual that came from another culture, how do you view that, right? What I mean by view is, did it help? Did it relieve some of the symptoms? Did you do any type of chants, or are there different types of meditation practices that you connect with it? Or is it just literally, as we say, the burning of sage, right? Because the burning of sage, you know, it just has to feel it. You know, if you're in a closed space, you know, certain things are bound to happen. But as it relates to feeling the effects of it, clearing the room of energy, or, you know, changing your mental state, or the when energy in the room, did you just burn it, or did you engage in some type of chant or practice? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I was with it. Welcome, Christopher. Thank you for joining us. This is kind of how, you know, people who do that, have they fully embraced the full, mm-hmm. the full experience of such rituals, mm-hmm. right? And what that means, because this is deep, right? If you study those,
there you know, is, you know, we, I, of course, because I like to have fun with stuff. We laughed about some stuff and we joked about it, but the seriousness of it, you know, I took care of the serious parts of it because I dealt with. Biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could speak to this point, how people, even when you've exposed them to the truth, how they're angry about the truth and how they deflected the truth. And how rather than accept said message, oh, that's coming from this, she was one did that. And I often say to people, you know, we don't, you know, if you're bleeding, you don't care who's gonna help you stop the bleeding.
Right.
You know, if you stuck on the side of the road and AAA come, I don't care if it's a Klans member or somebody from the LGBTQ, or I don't care if the person that's out there has just got out of jail for doing whatever.
Right.
I just need my tie.
Right. Right.
I could deal with that later.
Okay.
But to be so angry that you question the messenger, you are no different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I know this ain't that kind of show, but you're no different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees who rejected Jesus because he didn't look like what they expected him to.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't come in the fashion that they expected him to. You know. So yeah, I be all right.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where I find that people want to feel better.
Yeah.
And it's you can easily be offended when someone attacks something that you engage in, that you say, this actually helped me feel better. This brought me energy. And it's kind of like when you talk about from a spiritual perspective, that the same way this particular practice worked for you, we say prayer can do it as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Other, you know, practices within our culture, religion, spiritual support. And so I think that's where people really became frustrated or offended at is, you know, this is something that to them has been proven to work,
mm-hmm.
right? How do you then say, okay, what are you doing? This is not Christian-like. This goes against the principles of, you know, our belief systems. And is it idol worship? Is it, you know, going against God, meaning you're replacing God and his power?
And nobody asked. It wasn't presented either the way Jamal Bryant did it or even the way that I took up for what he said. It wasn't in an attacking form. It was, let's educate you on what you are doing and spirits you're invoking and let what that is, and then you make a decision on what you do.
Right, and that's why I wonder if people go through the full ritual, right? Because when you think about those practices, it wasn't just that. It wasn't
it's
the
more,
burning of. Right. It was the chants, the thoughts, the behaviors, right? There was a lot that came with it. You actually take yourself to another level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where, you know, in essence, you said, well, if this is not what you're doing, if you're not feeling it the way I'm explaining it, then you're not doing it right. Right. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. It's like, well, okay, I don't do all of that. Right. And then you can say, well, okay, now you're telling me I'm doing it wrong. Now, what am I not feeling better? Or am I not feeling the effects of it?
Right. It's like, you know, somebody asked me about yoga.
So Felicia says, I used to walk around with crystals when doing yoga. Don't do it anymore. But it was supposed to relieve stress. Of course, I didn't tell anybody because I knew I would be judged. Okay.
Wow.
So let me ask you this, Felicia, did you feel relief from the stress? Meaning, you know, cause I see kind of both sides of the reason for the crystals versus the colors. I don't know if it had colors or, you know, it was a soothing technique. So supposed to give off some energy. Right. And if so, what did you feel like you were being judged? What would you be judged on if that was the case? Right. So, yeah, that kind of just that's where I was with it with you. I was like, you are feeling the heat. They are going in on you. Then you turned around and you know.
Some not very nice.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's all good.
But you touched the nerve, right? And looking at, so people are, which we're going to talk about, anxiety and panic.
That's like
right?
telling people they cook their sweet potatoes wrong. Don't get mad because you cook your sweet potatoes wrong.
How do you cook sweet potatoes wrong?
If you put water in the pot, you don't know what the hell you're doing.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me, great people. If you don't put water in the pot, are we boiling the sweet potatoes? What are we doing with the sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes make their own gravy. You don't need to add no water.
Gravy?
Huh?
Sweet.
I'm
you know what? I see some chefs on here. Joyce Dawkins, if you're on here, she, now that is a chef, right? And yeah, she has a lot of great things going on. So sweet potatoes make, they're all juicy. That is true. If you put them in the oven, right, with all your ingredients. Oh, my goodness. All right. Welcome, Wendell. Thank you for joining us. Okay, then I'm just going to leave it at that because I think people cook, bake, right, boil things in different ways, foods in different ways. Okay. All right, here we go. So thank you for tuning in. You're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Thomas, where we thrive on quality behavioral health services. And, of course, we are definitely in tune with issues of today's society and how that is impacting us mentally. Felicia says it was the purple crystal I grew up on in the church. People are not open-minded at all, but I have a vibe with all kinds of people and things. Okay, I don't judge people on what they do or religion unless they ask my opinion. I think the yoga had more of an effect than the crystals. Okay, very good. Very good. Yeah, yoga is really, really impactful on the body in his exercise. Are you okay? It's over there on the top, on the bag. Excuse us, y'all. You know, we... Okay. Anyway, all right. like we at the house somewhere. Here we go. But it was over there. All right. Talking about... there is a lot of people experiencing anxiety and panic today. And, you know, I must admit it's taken a lot to stay focused personally and as well as professionally, because I see the impact that it's having just on myself as well as my clients anywhere I am providing a service these days. How you doing? How you managing? People have questions about what to do, how to act, should they talk, should they not talk. And so obviously I work in a field where we constantly have to talk and interact. And so I must say that, you know, where I am, people are showing up, people are talking, people are, you know, still interested in services despite what certainty as it relates to health in general. And said, I thought about that. I thought about, okay, you know, there are people who every time they watch the news now, every time they're on social media, you know, we're always sent articles, whether you're logging in on Google, Yahoo, AOL, all those platforms seem to keep us updated on numbers, right? Numbers of people getting sick and down what. And so it's really causing people to feel some type of way. So, you know, I definitely want to talk about, you know, it's valid to feel anxiety and anxious when you hear these things. But one thing we want to work on is how to stay mentally safe through all of this, right? How do you stay mentally safe when every time you turn on a news channel or boxing, you know, I have people who are sending me things like, look out for this, look out for this, and did you hear about that? And you can't take all of that on every time it comes into your visual. So there's a strategy you have to have. How do you shake this stuff off, but yet be conscious of or be mindful of your surroundings? Because I'm definitely not saying don't practice safe, you know, strategies as far as what they're suggesting, but should this your day actions, should this affect you going to work, should this affect, you know, other areas of your life that you now become so restricted in what you do? So that's kind of where we at. So I wanted to talk about these attacks, right? Anxiety and panic attacks. There is a difference, all right? There is a clear difference between the two, because one is more severe than the other and can cause you to be hospitalized. And so I thought about, you know, as I talk with my team and other people in the field, you know, everybody already has other stuff going on in their life, right? Would you say that we all have our issues?
Everybody got something going on.
Everybody has something going on. So top that with, you know, whether or not you catch something, right? And because it's hit home, right, home meaning Chicago, home meaning our schools, all these different places where we say, okay, we're now, you know, susceptible to this. People are feeling some type of way. People are walking around on edge, right? People are walking around on edge. People are, you know, experiencing some things. So I want to talk about anxiety and panic, all right? And so, my favorite producer,
oh,
Elder Dan,
oh,
Dr. King.
That sounds like a setup.
And those of you joining us, Blog Talk.
Like
when was the last time you actually felt anxious? Anxious, anxiety, meaning you became fidgety. You
only time I feel anxious. I don't panic.
That's not panic.
No, no, I'm saying
right.
I don't panic.
Okay.
The only time I feel anxious now is the, right before teaching an agent.
Interesting. Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right before teaching and preaching.
Right.
Every time.
Every time?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, every time.
And we understand that anxiety, feeling it, is normal. It's a normal response to things that we are about to do or people we are about to encounter. And so I think that understanding that anxiety, you know, there's a physical side and there's a mental side to anxiety. And so so I looked at it and said, okay, if anxiety is associated with excessive worries or stressful situations, right? And we know that not all stress is bad, right? So if you're planning an event, you're planning a wedding, you know, like you said, you are planning to deliver a sermon or you're planning to teach your classes, although you may have done this 50 times, feelings just arise, right, when it's actually time to do it. That can actually work in our favor, right, because we're more focused, we're more in tune with making sure we stay on task.
I think it keeps you humble from my standpoint.
Okay.
I think it keeps you humble.
All right.
Because if you go up there overconfident, and then you don't see if you go up there, whatever happens happens, you're good. If you go up there overconfident, and then you start expecting something to happen that you thought, then
right.
you have a problem.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Get it. Yeah. And so when we talk about anxiety in a way that people begin to feel it lingering, and I know. Felice said, when I was at the seafood place, they was taking too long with my food. You had some anxiety provoked. In terms of, okay, what happens when you excessively worry about different things in your life over a long period of time, right? So think about anxiety. It intensifies over a period of time, and really understanding that, you know, when it comes to the physical signs of anxiety, some of these symptoms include muscle tension, disturbed sleep, difficulty concentrating, restlessness, irritability.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this is excessive worry,
mm-hmm.
right, over something. And so I think about that, and I'm like, what's going on in today's time that causes or is causing us excessive worry and stress,
mm-hmm.
right? In the church, I stressed out over how they're treated at church, how they're going to be treated at church, whether or not they're going to be accepted in church. Sometimes if they're working in ministry, they are excessively worried about, you know, pleasing people, you know, impressing people, and this is more exhausting than the ministry work itself.
Yes.
Right. Now that's just in the church. That's the religious
right.
part of it,
yeah.
where you know there are so many people having emotional responses, feelings of anxiety, just in the church,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have the job. Then you have your children, you have your family where, especially in our culture, that period where we had the, you know, we to some extent issues, right, interacting with the police.
Mm-hmm.
This caused so much anxiety, right, where you, and this includes myself,
mm-hmm.
You know, your child, your son is leaving to go to school. You're praying and praying that they come home safely. They don't have any interactions, right? And it's like, okay, the word, you know, caught up on the street and something, but now we have to worry about this over here.
Mm-hmm.
So life has really, from a cultural perspective, provoked or really sent us into a platform of experiencing prolonged anxiety,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, that's kind of on my end. Can you think of anything else where in our society, our city, our state, our country, that's causing anxiety, which we are labeling it as excessive worry or stressful situations?
Yeah, I mean, like right now we got the whole Corona thing, but then, you know, before that was the we had the stock market issue.
Stock market issue.
Money,
okay.
Dealing people with money. Anytime there's a threat of war.
Okay.
People are anxious. Elections.
Mm-hmm.
2016 was very difficult for
right.
some people. You know.
Right.
Now it's almost 4 years later, and we're about to be right there again, and people are starting to, you know, feel some kind of way.
Right.
So people are getting anxious. Yeah, and I'm sure it's at an all-time high right now, and it's only getting worse the closer we get to it.
Right. So you can imagine when it says that anxiety is that symptom that intensifies over a period of time. You think about elections, right? So it's really like I never get a break to recover from the stressful. The stress of having elections, we never really got over, right? We had the flu season. That was hitting us. Now we have, you know, the coronavirus. Now it's just these seasons are becoming more frequent and people are experiencing more and more intense anxiety, right? Levels of anxiety. So when you think about that whole aspect of now what is an anxiety attack, right? This is where you say, okay, right now I can't function this moment. Might because I'm worried about this particular stressful event or this particular, you know, environment that I'm living in, these physical symptoms are overwhelming me right now, right? Typically, we walk around in the emotional, right, the mental aspect of anxiety kind of manifests and kind of lays low until the physical starts in, and now we have all these shortness of breath, dizziness, disturbed sleep, and this is where it says, okay, what's going on with my body now? And typically when you say, well, I'm always worried, I always have racing thoughts, and I'm finding where there's no one particular thing nowadays where people say, this is what I'm worried about. It's multiple things. So how do we then shape into, you know, where we say if there are multiple things worrying you right now, how do we begin to say, hey, right, let's put mental health as top priority, because people are having seen at an all-time high anxiety attacks, right? Welcome, come on in, Shionte. Welcome, Elect Berry. Thank you. Let me pause and update everybody who's coming on in. And so Felicia says, doesn't the media perpetuate the anxieties? I thought about fasting from all media for 90 days to see if it goes away. Now, Felicia, let me tell you, believe it or not, I'm doing that right now. I know I'm on live on Facebook, but I do this every year where I do take time off social media as far as scrolling. I don't stroll anywhere.
That's next week's show. Who was on the stroll? Huh? Who's strolling? Huh? You over that door.
My goodness.
I just came on in.
Wait. You know, when May get here, you know, it's some pounds that better be shed. I'm going to do some serious strolling then, okay? Let me make that known.
All right.
So welcome, everybody. We just talked about anxiety. So, yes, I have taken, you know, fast in terms of posting. In terms of reading, Felicia, I totally am off Instagram, that platform, and it makes a big difference, right?
You spend a lot of time on Instagram?
I just when I was posting.
Oh.
Become more visible. You have to spend so much time on there, and I just couldn't see myself doing it, right? So I'm probably horrible at that. So yes. I've done that where it can be overwhelming, right? It's totally overwhelming. And people, I listen to people, and I listened to them go through the symptoms of anxiety just with the behavior. How are you? And, you know, really, really thinking about every time you read something about a news, especially the news articles. I don't know if you noticed, like when I was, you know, scrolling through, mm-hmm. I always see people posting the most disturbing news, news articles or you know, news reports. And I don't know about you, but you have to be careful what you read these days, right? Because these images or these words of the story, they spark emotion in you, right? They spark the anxiety of, could this happen to me? Could this happen to my children, my family member? So it's really something where you can see where, and sometimes I don't know how people allow themselves to read it and then post it again. You know, now as well, because every time I was, you know, trying to, I like memes, so I'm into the memes, but I couldn't even see the memes because every such heinous acts to humans. And it's like, wow, right? Wow. How do we get to this point? Do you not feel that sparks, right, some type of anxiety, some type of sadness, depression? Because these news people want bait, right? Clickbait, or, you know, who gets the most views. So that's not worked in our favor.
No, it causes more harms. Well, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that.
It does. It does.
Okay. I'll let you say it.
It does.
You're the professional. I think it serves a greater purpose. The problem is the bad stuff gets all the attention.
That's what sells.
Yeah. The bad stuff sells. Like, turned on the news tonight and they didn't tell us about anybody being shot, we would think something was wrong.
Right.
If they said, you know what, we are not going to report
right.
the two people that got shot or whatever. I think that would be great. But I said this the other day, I would love to be able to take a break from social media. Unfortunately, because of the line of work I'm in, it would not be possible.
You can limit your screen. You have set times that you go to it throughout the day. So if you only do it on your lunch, well, no, but that's different here.
I'm constantly sending stuff out though about y'all's stuff, boosting posts.
But do you just do that and get off?
Okay.
Are you nosy?
No, it's not that. Because when you first get on, it's the first you look at the first thing that pop up on y'all on your in your timeline.
How are you? You know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of, and even people who inbox all these videos, right, that supposedly is too graphic or too, you know, raunchy for.
They don't want you to save people, send it to your inbox, because they can't post it on their page. So save people. Let me say it like this. Save people, send stuff to your inbox. Be like, oh, white, and then you want to post it, but then you like, well, I can't.
Right, you can't repost that.
You can't repost it up. So, you know, save folks do it all the time. They do.
Right.
You like your stuff, you like, and you laugh, and you like, well, I can't even share this. And you be careful who you send it to, who, you know. And especially me. Everything
that is true.
I do get judged.
That is true.
Everything I do get judged.
Yeah, I try not to post this. The last thing I need is, you know,
right.
What kind of work do you do?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, so thinking about that, there are a lot of people walking around with anxiety issues, right? And the anxiety manifests into an attack when it's at its peak and it stops you in your tracks. So the condition here has to be that, you know, for it to be anxiety driven, right? The premise of the attack is anxiety. There has to be a stressor there has to be something related to it that you are excessively concerned with, and it's manifested typically over a period of time, and you feel such things as that, right? So that's it. And I think that, you know, when people experience anxiety attacks, most people don't reach out for help at that point, right? So a lot of times I hear where most anxiety attacks that someone has experienced it throughout, right? A certain time frame, maybe that's over the years or over the month. And so really looking at that, you know, let's say, okay, if you say I've experienced this for X amount of months, and you say, okay, what peaks it, right? What peaks you to go through that? What are you excessively concerned about? That's where you have to sit down and address your worries and your concerns, all right? And so right now, we can take a break. We'll check right back on in 1 second. All right, so enjoy this music. You know how I like to do it, right? With
it's time for the percolator. 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 For the percolator, it's time for the percolator. It's time for the percolator. Percolator.
Behind the scenes.
It's time for the percolator.
All right. So,
it's time for the percolator.
So that's that excessive worrying. When it peaks, you start to feel physical signs, you know, which manifest over time. So panic. Panic attack, right? First of all, when you panic is a sudden sensation, right? It's a sudden sensation of fear, okay? It's a very strong sensation of fear. And so when you talk about panic attacks, we mean at that moment, right? You're experiencing this at that moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you all for tuning in back with me. We're just going to jump right into panic right now because we're talking about panic attacks and anxiety attacks. Panic attacks usually peak within 10 minutes and end within 20 to 30 minutes. So when you compare that to an anxiety attack, anxiety attacks are prolonged, right? Anxiety attacks are prolonged, but panic attacks are more intense. They last about 10 minutes. Well, they peak within 10 minutes, meaning the onset of it is just that rampant or it's like a rush. And so it can last up to 30 minutes. And it's more severe and it's more intense. Now, you may say, okay, what does that look like, right? When you say someone is experiencing a panic attack, how does that actually look? All right, and where does it come from? Is it out of nowhere? Is there something that's going on, you know, to trigger a panic attack? Typically, generally, usually, panic attacks are out of nowhere, meaning there's no particular stress or there's no particular element that's involved, you know, with the upcoming symptoms. Felicia says, which one produces hives? Now, that's interesting. Now, hives generally mean there's some histamine, right, that comes with that, you know.
Histamine.
Really?
Histamine. I'm just trying to understand that.
So histamine, you know, with the hives, but panic attacks usually come with the hives, and that's the rush of the chemical histamine, right, which is why we take antihistamines, right, to reduce those hives. So when you're going through a panic attack, the symptoms are more intense and they cause a major disruption in your day, right? So some people actually have to go home after experiencing a panic attack because the symptoms are just that intense, right? So they actually need to have a period of recovery. And so this includes, and some of these symptoms overlap, but we're talking about the intensity of it. So heart palpitations, a pounding heart, excessive sweating, trembling or shaking, sensations of shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, feeling of that you're choking, chest pains or discomfort, nausea, abdominal distress, dizziness, unsteady, lightheaded, or feeling faint, feelings of unreality or being detached from oneself, fear of losing control or going crazy, the fear of dying, numbness or tingling sensation, chills or hot flashes. These are the signs, right? These are the symptoms of panic attack. This is actually what you're feeling. And so, yes, at this moment, a person can absolutely feel like they're going to pass out. And obviously, the feelings of dying come in there because your heart is racing, right? It's racing really fast. You have irregular heartbeats, all right? And so when you think about, okay, those panic attacks are occurring, you know, what do you do with that, right? What do you do when you have such feelings that come out of nowhere? And it's suggested that your anxiety, right, when you're experiencing anxiety, that could turn into a panic attack, right, because your body is responding more physically, right, to just the thought of your body going through anxiety. So the panic attack is not stemming from your stressor, it's stemming from the idea that you are signaling anxiety, right, and anxious behavior through your body. Right. So do you know anybody that's ever had a panic attack or you ever heard someone disclose that this is not panic disorder? Right. But this is really just a panic attack. I experienced it just came out of nowhere and all these symptoms just happened to me.
Yeah, I've dated a person with a panic attacks. But in hindsight, they was just a little crazy.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, touched or whatever you want to call it. You can't hear. Oh, that's because I turned my mic down. They can hear me over there.
Don't do that.
I think they can. Hold on.
Okay.
You saying you can't hear me through the speakers?
Cool. Oh, so you saying that I gotta hear you like just in the room?
Well, you know, because you refuse to put on a headset.
Okay.
They can hear me though.
All right.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be loud. So they can hear me.
All right.
You know, I wear a headset on my show so I can hear.
Is you fancy?
Okay. Well, y'all don't want to win. Anyway.
How did you handle your? You say you dated someone with panic.
I dated.
I know it's an ED on
no, you said ing. You just said ing. I just want to clear some up.
Whatever.
No smoke.
Was it frequent or like? Did you have to help them cope through it? Or
sometimes, yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, sometimes it was a coping issue. So that was it was a little different.
Okay.
And then I've had friends who I know have. Panic attacks. So yeah, it is a difficult situation to
right.
deal with. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And Shiante says, not trying to go too deep. I've experienced both, especially when I was rehabbing after the onset. Okay, of my illness, it has actually increased my faith and prayer life to be able to immediately start pleading the blood until I'm back home. That's absolutely correct, Shiante. Like nothing's too deep, right? It's really whatever gets you back to your best state, right? And we know that from a spiritual perspective, you know, that's the foundation for some people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those spiritual practices mm-hmm. are very well accepted as techniques and strategies to come through
mm-hmm.
those things when those stressful periods, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about panic attacks, you know, it's one of those things where your heart is beating so fast that your chest can start aching,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't catch your breath or swallow. The palm of your hands becomes sweaty and tingly. Your face is flushed. You feel faint. You know, and so when you think about that, some people feel like they're having a heart attack, right? And so in all, you need to see a doctor. Right, because if you continuously have these attacks,
mm-hmm.
then you know, of course, that can do some harm on you physically.
Absolutely.
Right,
absolutely, yes.
But I mean, people have gone so long with having these attacks mm-hmm. That it takes something unrelated to the attacks for them to disclose it. Mm-hmm. Right, so very few people come in mm-hmm. saying, "Hey, this is my dominant, this is my primary, this is my presenting problem. I'm having panic attacks. I don't know why."
Mm-hmm.
That's like, it comes out later. It, like you have to ask the question, "Hey, have you ever experienced a panic attack?"
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Those initial sessions. But, you know, they got me to thinking, like, how normalized have we made it that people experience this kind of stuff? And okay, you are right. Once you come out of it,
right.
we just go back to
right.
life.
Right, right.
We even have our teenagers out here having panic attacks and, you know, anxiety attacks just due to what's going
on in life. What are the symptoms? Have we discussed?
Yeah, for panic attacks,
yes.
it's on. It's onset, right? There's no gradual.
Set up.
No. It hits with if your body starts to signal, in 10 minutes. Within 10 minutes, you're there.
And what's the how is that diagnosed?
So panic disorders, obviously, you have to have a repeated cycle of it, right? And so you think about, okay, where does the panic attacks come from, right? So you know, is it a phobia? Is it because there are things that can trigger
mm-hmm.
right you into a panic state. So it really gets to where how to get the root cause of a panic attack,
mm-hmm.
which we could say it is. There is a such thing as a panic disorder, right? Which is just frequent panic attacks.
Yes.
But how then do we get to the root of why are you physically responding
mm-hmm.
this way to the panic attack? With anxiety driven disorders, generalized anxiety disorders, those type of disorders, we can kind of pinpoint, right, where it is from social anxiety, right, to, you know, different types of, like, phobias, mm-hmm. right? We know that that's excessive fear. That can actually cause a panic attack just thinking about, or, you know, it's unrealistic thought, right?
Okay.
So really positioning on what's going on in the brain, right, when you're having what's a stressful lifestyle,
okay,
right, that can promote or exacerbate, you know, panic attacks. And that's why we tell people now is the time to truly take it easy, right? So how have you taken it easy with everything that's going on or managing where you don't get overwhelmed, you don't let everything get to you in a way that you take on what you hear in the media? What do you do for yourself to take care of yourself?
I think because I am a person who reads a lot and I study a lot, so I'm not one who, like, I have friends who will post anything they see.
Okay.
And my question to them is, did you research this before you decided to continue spreading it?
Meaning, like, facts or
yes.
statistics,
right.
or
did you
wow.
do any fact checking, okay. checking on anything before you decided to post this?
Okay.
So because I am an avid reader, and I am one who watches the news, and I think I don't know a lot of people, I guess, young folks don't watch the news anymore, I guess.
Watch or read video,
news,
YouTube, that's
right?
their news.
So I know part of that in me watching and reading the news is I am middle of the road when it comes to how I react to things, because I say, okay, let me see what the other side possibly of this could be. Like the whole coronavirus thing, I don't have a heightened sense of
okay
urgency yet
okay
about it, because it is still because I honestly don't believe we're getting all the facts as of yet, so I am not in a heightened sense of emergency. I recognize how many people died of the flu already compared to
communicable diseases.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like I am aware, I read. So I think because I read a little bit of everything, not
okay.
one thing sends me over the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, that's critical when you talk about addressing these particular symptoms here, anxiety and panic,
mm-hmm.
because it's what your eyes allow into, you know, your brain, right? Your brain, you see with your brain, right? Your eyes are the gatekeeper, so... Right. If you are continuously exposing yourself
yes.
to things that literally stay on your mind,
mm-hmm.
right, to things where you begin to, we have a lot of people that diagnose themselves,
mm-hmm.
right, and it's to the point now we're battling where I read this on the internet, or you know, I Googled this and this is what I have, and that sparks anxiety and panic attacks, because there's so many people or so many websites, right, mm-hmm. that lead people into thinking this is how severe you are. This is if you think this way, if you see this, if you
right.
feel this way, this is what this means.
Right.
So I think that, you know, it warrants where you have to begin to tap into safeguarding what you allow your mind, right, to see, what you allow yourself to absorb and apply it to yourself. And
mm-hmm.
that's hard sometimes, because even if you take social media, people tend to believe what quote unquote their friends post.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? As opposed to look, but when you think about it, if you have to look up everything that people post, that's going to spark anxiety as well. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like, you know, how far do you go with this stuff? How far do you go with, because everybody wants something.
I think it depends on what you're involved in. A lot of people
okay.
allow social media, news, and everything to overtake how they feel about everything because they really don't have a social
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
I think people with social lives are more or not are not as inclined to hop on every new thing that pops up, every news alert, every this, every
right.
that. people with no social lives, and social media has become their social life.
Right. That is true.
They are alerted. They are heightened by everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Shante said.
I just talked that.
You have to become that Negro spiritual and still a way to. Yeah, absolutely. And some people are hypochondriacs anyhow. Right. I look at it like, do you hold your close circle accountable for what they bring to you
mm-hmm.
and deposit into your spirit? And what I mean by spirit is,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to discuss everything, right, that you tap into, right? And I'm saying it in a way like when you talk about taking care of yourself, when you talk about regulating right, your anxiety and your body's responding to a panic state, you have to now set up boundaries, right, with people in your outlets as to what you will not entertain. Right. So I know that for me, you know, I'm getting better at some people on social media just like to keep up controversy, whether that's health related, church related. Right. It doesn't matter what aspect of life. But for them, it's the thrill of seeing people in a panic state.
They're called trolls. No, that's what they call them on the internet. The trolls. They troll people. That their job is to put something out to spark a response, to spark a debate, and then they sit back and watch.
But these are people. These could be people that you know and have known personally, right? So not just your Facebook family, right? The people. And you know, I think about that. Like, okay, wow. We are becoming less sensitive or less empathetic. Right, less in tune with, like, okay, do you understand if you post this? Do you understand that if you keep, you know, hyping people up with this, this actually sparks panic and anxiety? It baffles me. I'm gonna tell you, it baffles me.
I have a friend who is a former coworker, former employee. I'll say his name because he don't care. Darnell. Darnell was a former,
Darnell gonna beat you outside.
Darnell will be all right. But Darnell. Is a, you know, he's one of these woke people, right?
Okay.
But every opportunity he gets when he's not talking about something that's just, you know, common sense, that's common sense wise, he always tries to, he low key throws shade at the church.
Okay.
All the time, right? And so then I haven't come to be inclined to ignore most of the posts. Because I used to be the one who would be the first one to respond.
Yeah.
Which,
that's,
you know,
what he wants, the arousal.
Yeah. Because I'm like, wait a minute, because I don't know, like, why do I have to feel like I have to defend the church? Church going to be here when I'm gone, and it'll be, mm-hmm. it was here before me, it'll be mm-hmm. here after me. However, he gets a kick out of riling up Christians.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. That he literally does. And I don't know if it's and honestly, and I've had a conversation with him. I said that there is a church hurt issue there.
Right.
You're mad about something.
Mm.
And maybe it didn't happen to you. Maybe the church wasn't your mama like you wanted it to be,
right.
or your auntie or whoever.
Right.
And
right.
so now this is your way of constantly hitting back. Because I told him, I said, I never see you attack any other religion outside of Christianity.
Right.
Like, I never see you go out to the Muslims by the way they treat their women. I never see you go out to other religions or anything else, but it's always the one that's around the corner from your house, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it's, I think with that, people, again, that anxiety-driven or that panic state comes from, you are bothering people's sacred space, right? So if my sacred space feels attacked, or you're trying to taint, right, what I hold sacred internally, right, I'm having a reaction because I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with you, right, and why are you imposing, and now I have to defend, right, and I think that this is where we have to be careful at when you talk about it. If we really address the underlying causes of these two elements, look at us as a whole and how we treat each other, right? So are we holding each other accountable for actually how we treat each other, in the sense that we are intentionally trying to offend, we are intentionally trying to abuse, manipulate, emotionally abuse, psychologically abuse, to where you know it gets to us. I think we're in a state of, it's like, now you know, right, as you call them, trolls, right? So we now know what sparks, right? And we're worrying. That excess worry comes in as, is this how you really view me, right? Can I express my Christianity, right, on my platform without you attacking it? Because that's how serious people take, right? It's freedom of speech, right? So if I can't freely express myself without this, then yes, I'm going to become concerned. And I think that you know, really, really looking at holding each other more accountable for how we get to these places, right? Even when you talk about relationships, marriages, children, I just, I don't know about you all, you that's logged in on Facebook and on, you know, Blog Talk, but everybody shares everything to the extent of, I now know how you feel because your details are so vivid. You understand what I'm saying? So now when I read this, my mind goes to that place where you're at because you're so graphic. You're so detailed in what you experience. What do you want me to do with that? Right? Even to the extent of like people being reminded of their losses, right? Yeah. Ask me to pray for you, yes, right? But you don't necessarily have to post people laying up with tubes,
right?
The graphic, like yeah. Understanding what's thought provoking is what you give me visually to see, right? And I'm seeing that a lot, and that's on my end clinically. It's like, if I'm a person trying to recover from, if I'm a person trying to, you know, deal with my own issues, and I feel like, okay, this outlet, this platform should be a safe place for me emotionally, but it's not anymore because more and more people are using it for us to come inside their mind, right? I think people are posting the vivid of their mind. I've never seen so many funeral pictures, like of the casket with the body.
That has been going on for a while now, though.
I mean, like,
in the last 5 years or so, yeah. It has gotten ridiculous.
And
I know.
And I'm talking like up close casket.
Oh no,
pictures.
I officiated a funeral where the family had to ask me to tell people to stop taking pictures. Because people was up at the casket like this.
Wow. Selfies?
Y'all move his head.
Say move his head.
Is he in the light? So we can turn him.
Y'all
turn him.
Yes. And that's you look and you say, it's a wow factor at first, but imagine repeatedly seeing this, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine, you know, some people have never seen anybody shot before. Some people never seen the impact of, you know, somebody get hit by a car and they're in the hospital. Or, you know, I think that we've got this state where there are no boundaries, there are no limitations, right, to what this technology and social media era has provided us. So you must now manage yourself, right, accordingly. It's like, well, how do you do that? Right. How do you do that when anything you hear can trigger, right, can trigger emotions, can trigger you into a state of panic because you're like, oh, my God. Right. So it's kind of rough. And that's like the brainstorming of this is on the radio. There's certain radio stations I don't listen to. Right. Because it's like, especially with this whole, you know, this coronavirus thing. And I know it's bringing up a lot, but I'm listening to personalities on the radio themselves are panicking, right? And you could tell it in their voice. You could tell it in, you better do this, you better do this, you better do this. And I'm like, wow, if you're in a state of panic, what makes you think your listeners won't start to panic listening to your voice
mm-hmm.
as you give the latest update.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like, okay, what do you do with all that?
Mm.
I'm trying to take my deep breaths in the car, but as soon as I click on
right.
the radio.
Right. Yeah, you have to there has to be a balance of what you listen to. I in the mornings I wake up to if I wake up in the middle of the night, if it's like four, so I'm sorry, early in the morning, my alarm goes off at six, whatever.
Okay.
So, but if I wake up before that, whatever channel the television was on, I always flip over to Channel 7 News and,
gotcha.
And then I'll end up going
yeah.
back to sleep on it, and then they'll repeat what they say a couple, three, four times, right? So then that's that. And then when I'm getting dressed, I have music on. But then when I get in the car, I flip on CNN to get the world news.
Okay.
You know, and then halfway to school, I'll flip back over to my gospel music to get my mind ready to deal with
mm-hmm.
these demon seeds.
Kids, okay?
Right.
Children, they're angels.
Demon seeds. Hell's angels. Yes. Lucifer's imps. Straight from the pits of hell.
No, come on
escaped.
Back. Come on
escaped.
Back.
They did. Round them up. We need exorcism. anyway, but yeah, you have to balance it, because otherwise you can sit there and, because I remember how anxious I was during the 2008 election.
Okay.
With Obama.
All right.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. I remember my mom's anxiety during the inauguration.
Huh.
Because she didn't want him to get out of the car and walk down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Mm.
She literally started having Kennedy flashbacks.
Got it.
Right. Okay. Because she was 18. That was 68, right? Yeah, so she was 18.
Right.
So
right.
she started having,
right.
she said, they. She literally said, I think we were on the phone together, and she said, I pray he don't get out the car. And when he got out, she said, why is he getting out the car? Why is he walking? Then she said, how come the Secret Service ain't closer?
Right.
She
that was real
thinking,
for her.
Yeah.
That
and then she kept
her.
Thinking, and this is the first black president.
Right.
You know there's somebody somewhere plotting.
Right.
Right, you know, so again, I was so into that. I mean, I was having heated debates with people leading up to the election,
right.
and I wasn't. And after and during his term, I was not the biggest Barack Obama fan,
mm-hmm.
right? But I wasn't a
right.
Hillary Clinton fan at all.
I think that it,
so
it,
you know.
We all experienced that, and that's that prolonged anxiety. And for some, the heated discussions, the altercations. All that was anxiety driven, right? All that was, okay, I'm in this place where I'm worried about the outcome,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what it is. That anxiety is we're worried about the outcome. And so we're now where people are worried about the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you hear something, that panic attack kicks in when you see something, right? Or you're in a place where I just can't take this no more,
mm-hmm.
right? Meaning, okay, these are my signs where my body is physically going through a state of panic, right? A sudden sense of fear, right? Right, and that's huge because we now see an increase in that.
Felicia
right?
said, I think it's two sides. People that are open with sharing everything and people looking for attention, because social media makes us feel more connected, or it seems we are more lonely than ever.
And Felicia, that is where I sit back and I'm always strategizing about that person who wants attention. It's by any means necessary, right? No matter what comes with that, the attention they must obtain. And then it's like that person who's sharing. When did we become that open to sharing the most vulnerable parts of our lives? Like I wondered, you know, behind that person thinking that, what does it mean to be that open with sharing that you even subject yourself, right,
mm-hmm.
to videoing and taking, you know, photos and posting the graphics of, you know, I found my XYZ doing this. I mean, I really read the details of things, and it's like, well, how?
Do the hot sauce. Sorry. I was going to do the hot sauce challenge.
I try to be serious on this show.
I know this.
But listen, it really it really gets to a point where I think we have to be more aware of what we used to look at as we don't go through that.
Mm-hmm.
We actually do, and it's becoming more detrimental to our health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Felicia says, I know tons of people that have had terrible, even traumatic, severely traumatic childhood, severely neglected. I totally get why they post everything and anything. It's sad. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, Felicia, I noticed is that you have different populations, right? So that person who hasn't dealt with their trauma, right, now hears this, and now they go into a state of being anxious and anxiety driven because they could be reliving, right, the trauma over again. But this person felt relieved. This person feels like, let me share my story.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps in the appropriate setting. I call for sharing your story,
mm-hmm.
but you have to make sure the setting is appropriate to share your story, because everybody's not ready to receive your story because of the place that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I hear that, you know, a lot. It's like, it's a tough one too, because, you know, there is someone out there who can read your story,
mm-hmm.
and get inspiration from it. But there are also people out there who are going through a tough time reading your
mm-hmm.
story,
mm-hmm.
because it sparks so much, you know, so many memories, so many unfavorable emotions. Right. So I think that that's kind of where we are. And it's kind of, it's interesting because some people feel like they find healing.
Yes.
Right. On
yes.
these type of platforms.
Yes.
And it's like, no, right. You won't find deep, genuine healing,
no.
right, in these spaces, because
mm-hmm.
you, first of all, you haven't dealt with your own issues,
mm-hmm.
right? You can be reading about somebody else's deliverance or what they've gone through, but one thing is for sure, nothing takes the place of sitting down, talking, right, in a safe space to heal your wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing takes the place of that.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, it's folk who perpetrate all the time on social media.
All day, every day.
And it's devastating,
yeah.
right? It's devastating that so many people are led on until they find out that you were perpetrated.
Because you perpetrated, you how much damage you're doing to yourself.
To yourself, right?
Yeah.
And those
that's not
who,
even like, I mean, talking
yeah.
about the outside people that you're affecting.
Right.
How much damage you're doing to yourself by not actually
right.
getting the help you need.
Right.
Yeah.
And more, you're right. What comes with that is, you know, you try to impress or you're trying to achieve something through accolades or attention seeking, you know, behaviors like Felicia said. But then there are those who looked up to you and said, oh, you know, I want to do that, right? Show me the steps. Give me the tools. Everybody wants, you know, a quick way out because you presented that it was so easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or look, I overcame it like this. You should do this too.
Right.
And then they look up and you fail,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you really didn't fall. You never were up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a bigger issue,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. right? And I think that that's kind of what we're not paying attention to. So Felicia says, still trying to wrap my head around that people that be flossing but are asking to borrow money in real life. Oh, well, who are you trying to miss? Felicia, and it's one of those things where I have to really keep in mind when I'm doing what I do is you don't want to offend people who are really trying hard to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And find validation,
mm-hmm.
right, to each his own. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's hard to sit back because you know and see differently
mm-hmm.
going on with this
mm-hmm.
person, and that sometimes they're some of the most unhappy people,
mm-hmm.
Which is filled with anxiety and sleepless nights, right? Except all the whole spectrum,
mm-hmm.
right, many people are experiencing, but the flossing is real,
mm-hmm.
right? The flossing is real, and you have people who, you know, aren't succeeding in their life because they're trying to figure out how you did it, but you're not really doing it. You know, so Felicia says, don't get me wrong. I've always been open and honest on TTLO. I think if I did something different, they wouldn't know who I was, but that's not with everyone. Yeah. Yeah. So when you talk about, you know, Felicia, it's really one of those things where are we doing more damage to each other emotionally just trying to impress each other?
Again,
right? Because meaning, when we wake up, we're thinking about how we're gonna one up,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you see a new outfit, it could be, you know, you getting this gig. Another reason why I took that detox, I call it a social media detox, mm-hmm. Felicia, is because I was really tired of people perpetrating.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it was like, well, you know, let me purge myself, right? Because mm-hmm. these folk have you out here thinking they on and popping, right? And then you look over and here they are,
again,
as you said, asking you for stuff.
It's because they have no real social outlet. So because they're wallflowers, they are more introverted than they really appear. And so on Facebook, on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Instagram, whatever it is, you can put up this false bravado,
okay.
or this facade that you are living a certain way. It's not even talking about the money. It's about the confidence.
Right, correct.
You put this right. air of confidence up about you. And I think that's why I think that was part of the reason why I know the night I came in here to do the show that Friday that I shouldn't have came in here to do the show. I decided to come and do it anyway because I chose, like, I'm like, I didn't care about what people saw.
Okay.
Right. So it's like you can't get, you know, serious me and goofy me. Strong me all the time because that's not real life.
Right. No.
Right?
No.
That's not real
right.
life. So and you know, I always equated to people ask me all the time when I was a little kid why I always preferred Batman over Superman.
Okay.
Right. And if people ever come to the studio, it's like pictures hanging
Batman
up in here.
Batman is everywhere.
Right. Well, it ain't like it used to be because Tanya won't let me do it. But old studio was everywhere. Like, it was action figures and everything. But people used to always ask me why I preferred Batman over Superman. And I said, because Batman was, in my mind, I said he was a real person.
Got it.
Because he could actually feel pain. And so he knew what it was like to, like, hit his foot on the side of something and it probably
right.
hurt.
Right.
Whereas Superman is the man of steel and he didn't know he had hit something.
Right.
You know,
true.
So that was related to me. And then when you read stories about his trauma and stuff that he went through and all that, I know the story's fake, but I'm just saying that it was relatable to
yeah.
me. Right. Because I was like, wow, even in his trauma, he could turn that into something. So, yeah. So and he only got to be weak when he took his mask off.
Mm-hmm.
When the mask was on. You couldn't be weak. So as I got older, I realized, you know, because I used to always keep the mask on. You know, people will tell you, my old classmates that I've reconnected with via Facebook and everything, you know, I was always the person they could, you know, you never could show a sign of weakness.
Right.
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 So you have to always allow people. But what I learned is by always being a strong person, you never get checked on.
Mm. True.
The strong person,
true.
The strong friend never gets checked on because he or she is always checking
right.
on everybody else. So that's why one thing about Facebook I do like is every now and then you'll see a post from somebody that says, hey, have you checked on your strong friend today?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it leads into, you know, hey, if what do you need to do to minimize your anxiety? Right, because you're only experiencing an anxiety attack, right? because it's prolonged, it's gradual.
Yes.
So
yes.
So what do you do to minimize your anxiety? You have
yes.
to think about people, places, and things,
mm-hmm.
right? Are there certain people around you that
mm-hmm.
provoke your anxiety, meaning
mm-hmm.
that you're concerned,
mm-hmm.
right, with the outcome of being around them or the things that they, you know, I watch how many people I'm around that complain a lot, mm-hmm. right? Because I can, with the work, I do 24/7
mm-hmm.
issues of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if the relationship is not reciprocal, right, that you're always depositing in me what's going on in you and I can't give that back to you, then you're a person that I have to stay away from, right? People, places, and things. When you think about, you know, what's in your control as it relates to minimizing and in some situations eliminating anxiety-provoked, right, environments. And so places, right, if you feel uncomfortable in some places and you are concerned with what's going to happen here or, you know, how is this going to turn out for you, what I mean by avoid is don't go places where it doesn't fit who you are, right, because that's okay. Right, there's some people who prefer to be at smaller churches than the mega churches because they feel overwhelmed. Right, they feel like, how do I fit in? How do I know, right, that I'm going to be accepted? Will you know? Will people even speak to me? And that's genuine, right? That's authentic, right? Concern. So there are some people who say, you know what, you know, it's good, right? I'm glad we have mega churches, but I'm good here. I'm
mm-hmm.
good with this particular environment because
mm-hmm.
it makes me the best person
mm-hmm.
I am. And there's just certain things I don't have to experience,
mm-hmm.
right, when it comes to that. And so, you know, so when you talk about managing, surround yourself with things that soothe you, right, that bring you some sense of peace. So things that's out of your control, right, which is sometimes things that happen on a job that causes you to worry, you know where your safe place is. Right, because if you don't really have a safe place or a safe space, right, to deal with your emotions, then that's how we get this prolonged anxiety and it intensifies and here goes an attack, right? Even in your home,
mm-hmm.
there has to be a place in your home,
yes,
where you can decompress,
yes,
and it's your space, it's your safe space,
yes,
to talk to God, it's your safe space,
yeah,
to decompress, it's your safe space, right, to do whatever it is
mm-hmm.
to get you to the best place. Like if you don't have a peaceful place in your home,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's why I know from and I'm overly transparent. That's why I am I am very leery about who I let come to my house,
like in the door.
Yeah,
come on now. All right,
because that is because my house is
it
has
to be
a
safe
place.
Yes.
So when I get in my house, I don't, for one, I'm not big on drama.
Okay.
I never have been. The only drama I was in was when I was on the drama team or something like that. Other than that, I choose not to be involved in drama, or if I like my dramas on TV.
Okay.
Right. Not in my house. So that's always been, and I guess like even for me, like from a dating standpoint, you know, no, I ain't got nothing to hide. I just don't. I need to know who you are,
right?
Fully,
right?
Before I invite you to even sit on my couch,
right? Because some people, it is. Well, once people start putting stuff in the atmosphere,
yes,
it penetrates you, right? It sticks with you. So the memory that you allow in your house
right.
are there,
and that's a good and bad thing because you probably push some people away.
True.
Because you know,
right?
Because see, my thing is, you know, it's like I am, you know, you don't show up if I didn't invite you.
Are you not getting here?
No, no, no! Don't even come ring the doorbell. See, because why are you here? See what I'm saying? It's just and you know, it's certain things that I just, you know, and it's over the years I've tried not to do that. It's like I had a I remember having a fight party some years ago.
Okay.
It was like Roy Jones Jr. and somebody else back in the day. And so I was living in LaGrange, and I invited a few other fellas over to the house. They had never been to my house before. Now, these are people that I grew up with. Now, my boy, Danny, who just celebrated birthday number 55 the other day, he always used to have, okay. Right? But, you know, he had moved a couple times, or he was in the process of moving. So he got back. So I was like, man, no, y'all come through and everything. And I was married at the time. So I told my wife, I said, I'm inviting the guys over. She said, really? She was shocked. So I was like, yeah, I said, it's only going to be like five dudes, you know, five, okay. You know, whatever, my god brothers, some other people. But the whole time I was sitting there, I was like anxious.
Okay.
Because when the fight was over, I was ready for them to go. All right, fight over.
That's it. That's the wrap.
Right. What about what they're going to talk about on the sports? Y'all want to go to a bar?
Felicia said, sing it. Keep a knocking, but you can't get in. Don't bring that stress here.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And, you know, it's so you talk about people, places, and things to minimize your anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be in tune these days with your body.
Yes.
Like we are stressing that so much. And I know stressing is not the, you know, word to use, but really you must be in tune with your body. Know when you are experiencing anxiety, now that can peak into an attack.
Yes.
Right. Your worry, you know, everything can't bother you right now. It's almost like you have to pick and choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
What to be concerned with if you have a plan of action.
Mm-hmm.
That's easier said than done, right? So if you don't have a plan of action to address the outcome or the projected outcome, then you need to figure out other ways to manage those thoughts,
mm-hmm.
right? And that could be, as we said, finding a safe place to deal with your emotions, you know, going for a walk, right? Calling people who can, you know, be that support for you. It's very important that you have genuine relationships, right, that you can invest in, where they can hear you and be an anchor for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, relax your muscles, right? There are people who watch TV tensed up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, really, if you're at home, you're sitting on the couch, and you know, you say you have your feet up, but your feet are moving, right? You,
mm-hmm.
you just, you know, pacing your feet back and forth. They just shake it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not relaxing.
No.
Right?
No.
So even then, it's like you really, when we say relax your muscles in your body, that means that every muscle, right,
mm-hmm.
is relaxed from the butt muscles to the thigh muscles, stomach muscle. It's intentional with that, because now you have to be more proactive. And then distract yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when, as it relates to if you're going through a panic attack, first and foremost, recognize that you're going through a panic attack. Don't keep trying to do what you're doing, right? Don't keep trying to, you know, finish up something you started. No, take a step back, deal with your physical and mental issues at the time, because you need to acknowledge that you are having a panic attack,
mm-hmm.
right? Understand that those symptoms are intense. Right. Understand that, you know, you have to talk yourself through it, meaning that you have to calm yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important, that we remove ourselves, because this is how it does lead into a stroke or a heart attack, is that you won't remove yourself from the environment that which you are experiencing these things in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, many people try to stay on a job. They try to stay,
right.
you know, doing what they do.
Right.
And, you know, my heart goes out to pastors and ministers who are preachers preach very hard these days.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
some of them do.
Felicia says, so what about people who shake their legs while in a relaxed place movie set? You know what? I just wonder if they actually relax, Felicia. Like, you know, sometimes it's anxiety in terms of, you know, what they call it, an automatic thing that they do. I've seen that too, where you're sitting down and your legs is going up and down, but plant both feet on the floor.
That's a condition, eh?
No. Plant both feet on the floor, right? Because mm-hmm. if you plant both feet on the floor, like flat,
mm-hmm.
you will stop moving your legs.
So don't be on the balls of your feet.
Don't be on the ball. You must plant flat. Your feet flat.
We do
on the floor.
At Mr. Oliver, my classroom partner, brought this thing in called Calm Classroom. So we do, not every day, but we do calm classroom when we switch classes when we get new sets of kids that come in the class when a different crew comes in, and it's always interesting. It's like that thing you did for the one day that's still loaded somewhere. But it is, you know, it does make you relax. It does kind of turn off the noise for a moment, especially for kids coming back from recess.
Yes.
Who are still hyped up about, you know, he hit me and ran, or we was doing this or doing that or whatever. And yeah, it does help. Or when you get in first thing in the morning and you're anxious about some stuff. So
I don't want to normalize anxiety. I think we're not, as a country, as a human race, we're not in a place where we need to be comfortable with prolonged ongoing anxiety, right? Because this is what it can transition into, right? Something that disrupts your daily life, something that, you know, when I hear people can't sleep at night because they have racing thoughts, or they wake up early in the morning with racing thoughts, it feels like they never was able to rest well. That, to me, that's serious, right, symptoms of anxiety that you need to now address, right? Because no matter what the root cause of it is, you have to address it. And sometimes that means making tough decisions. And what happens when you're not ready to make those tough decisions? Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that, you know, right now, don't be comfortable with anxiety. Don't get comfortable with experiencing anxiety attacks, right? It's not a badge of honor, right? It's not something where you say, hey, you know, I've dealt with this for 5 years. There's nothing that can be done. Yes, there is something that can be done, especially when we have more pre-existing conditions that are more manifesting themselves among us because our immune systems are low, right? Our physical bodies are not accepting it well. So address your anxiety, reduce your panic, right? Take a deep breath. Always know that panic attacks should come to an end, and it takes focus. And see a specialist, right? Obviously, the premise of the show is to see a specialist to make sure, right, that this is not something that's prolonged and frequent for you.
Do you deal with people with panic and anxiety issues?
I deal with individuals with anxiety issues, right? Because for me, more panic episodes warrant a medical doctor collaboration.
So medication is involved.
Sometimes depending on what the dominant symptom is.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it's a dominant symptom for your panic attack. And we talked about, you know, the heart racing all of those things.
Right.
It's more so dealing with anxiety, right? Because that can sometimes be the entry into a full-blown panic attack.
Right. Felicia says Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious.
Right.
That's what says be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that, Felicia, but that's hard. You can't tell nobody that's anxious that you get a scripture when they're I know that scripture very well, but when they're in the midst of that don't work.
And we you know, I hope more churches evolve to either providing services for these type of symptoms, but definitely, you know, there are many people in the church experience anxiety, depression, right, grief and loss, betrayal, all these symptoms that manifest themselves into virtually people getting sick physically, right? So definitely I hope that, you know, more churches come up with that, all right? So that's kind of the gist of today, right? What is a panic attack? What is anxiety attack, which we know is prolonged, manifest, and panic could be onset. So what do we say? Watch your lifestyle. Detox from social media. Get some counseling. See your medical doctor, right? Get the blood work. Check your cholesterol. Check your glucose levels, right? Get all of that checked because that matters. That matters into how well your body is able to function and process with those mental health issues. All right? So there we have it. I hope someone is more attentive to their stress level and their anxiety levels. And you can pass this information along. All right. So we get up out of here right now. Have a great week. And we will see you next week. We're about to get our bop on. Really? Blog Talk. Have a good evening. Facebook Live. Have a good evening. Get some relaxation.
Yeah. This is how it started. My dreams are broken hearted and I want you. Hey. You'll never be the same. No, this ain't on your list. This is me just playing some stuff. Blog Talk just getting old music. They over there just getting the regular music on Blog Talk. They ain't getting all this. They ain't getting none of this over there on Blog Talk. This is strictly for the book. This is strictly for the book. That's a bad mix. You told the people bye? Oh.